Hi, everybody. Steve Arterburn here. Joining me in Laguna Beach is Dr. John Townsend. I'm at the Broadcast Center of Anderson University in Anderson, Indiana. WQME is our home away from home. Come join us for New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
Struggling with abandonment issues, and I want to know how to move forward from it.
How would I reconcile a betrayal from a friend that was just a really deep wound?
I can always do good for short periods of time.
Yeah.
Like, pick myself right back up.
Michael, I believe you, and I hear that in you. We see that. But none of us were designed to have to pick ourselves up.
First of all, I'm wondering why it has to be somebody's fault that he died, because terrible things do happen in life.
I think you're going to lose
this
battle.
I have to let it go, don't I?
Yeah.
Part of what I would do is spend some time preparing my family to say, this is going to be tough, but we need to put it in the context of what would Jesus have us do.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here and Dr. John Townsend there. Hey, John.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Doing great. And we're doing a unique show today on living with a teenager. And, John, you've lived with a couple.
I still do.
And I have a daughter who's 20 who is in college. And we've been through this. And, you know, it seems to me that you and I have, fortunately, we've avoided some of the just the horrific stories that we've heard about parents who the teen years turned out to be a nightmare. Unless, you know, you've been lying to me and stuff, I didn't sense that your years with the boys are nightmares.
No, their prison sentences were much, much shorter than ours.
Yeah, right, right.
No, they're good.
Well, what do you think is one of the keys to living with a teenager? Because I live not only with Madeline when she's not in college, but with two teenage boys that are my bonus sons. What do you think? I mean, I'll share something, but what is your one of the things you found helpful in living with teens?
The first thing is to understand that the rules are really different. You have to be a different parent to a teen than you were to a 10-year-old or a 4-year-old. You're a different person because they're very different. And as a different parent, the thing that I have found the most helpful is to give them more rope, you know, more freedom, but then they have to earn it. So you give it to them, and if they abuse the curfew or the smart talking or the schooling, then you pull it back in. But teenagerhood is a time of trying new things, seeing if you believe what your parents say and this sort of thing, and they do need more rope, but then you've got to be willing to pull it back in.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I just always tried to instill in Madeline was that when she made good decisions, it was going to result in some good things happening for her, and that driver's license, that was not a right, that would be a privilege, and before she could get into a death machine, that is the avenue by which most teenagers are killed, an automobile, that she would have to, you know, show responsible living in a lot of different areas of her life.
Right.
And then I also made sure that she knew that I thought, you know, that there was a boarding school in Ireland that would take her if indeed she could not find a way to adjust her behavior based on consequences. And she really turned out to be an amazing person.
She's done great. You know, and it's a double-edged sword, because the other end of it is a parent has really got to work through their own control issues.
Yes.
The child is not as interested in you as they are in the outside world, and you have to accept that so that you help them leave and cleave as the Bible teaches. So that's the other part of it.
Yeah. But nothing replaces connection and involvement with the child. You have to be there. Can't phone it in. It really is important that you have that relationship. I'll tell you about one of the conversations I just had with our 13-year-old Carter. And we'll do that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Glad you're with us today here on New Life.
Music.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and I want to send you a copy, if you join us here on the program, a copy of Boundaries with Teens. I'd love for you to have that. John wrote that many moons ago, didn't you, John?
Yeah, when the boys were early teens.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Alice from St. Louis, Missouri. KMFC is the station. Hello, Alice. Welcome to New Life Live. This is one of our Friday focus programs where we're talking about kids and teens and difficulties living with them. How can we help you?
I would like some guidance on what steps to take regarding my son. He is 16, and he has struggled with depression in the past, and because of some just some hiding some things this summer, I was looking through his room and read in his diary some entries that concerned me.
And what were those entries saying?
He realizes he has an inescapable task, harder than he hoped. He will be hunted by them for what he did for himself. It will challenge his faith. And then he has another entry about realized he's a killer, and for that reason he's going to join the army, which is something he has talked about, joining the military.
Alice, get him to a counselor today.
Okay.
These sorts of signs are at one level they're a cry for help, and another level there could be something where he's really struggling with something violent in him or impulsive in him. Get him to a counselor today, and there's no negotiation, and there's no, well, I hope you go, or what would it take for you to go? He has to go, just like he has to eat a lunch.
Okay.
It's parents that read this kind of stuff and don't do anything that could end up regretting not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because of harm to others or harm to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Had you thought about getting some help for him?
Yes. Yeah. I have his the psychiatrist number in front of me to
mm-hmm.
call either before or after you.
Right.
Good.
I wasn't going to be that urgent, but I will now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time to act. And that's what parents do. And it's a protective thing that you're doing. And it could be nothing. It could be sort of like feelings of powerlessness, and he's trying to have power, or it could be feelings of trying to do the right thing. But the statements he's using are, we would call them, are red flag statements. So get him to a professional right now. And have them, that person, that man or woman, do an intake and find out dangerousness and what's really going on. And you'll know he's with somebody who's seen thousands of kids. So make sure you do that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to send you Boundaries with Teens. Now, John, the brain of a teenager is not necessarily healthy.
Well, it's healthy. Yeah, I would say it's not necessarily mature. It's healthy. And because it's that's where it should be, but it's not mature yet.
Yeah. So so how do you tell the difference between an immature brain and a brain that really is showing some signs that, hey, we need to do this sooner than later?
Well, the brain ends up in behaviors, Steve. And so you always look at behaviors. Are my child's actions in the three critical categories, and I talk about this in Boundaries and Teens, in the three critical categories, are they okay for their, for the age and for where we are in school and church and family, those sorts of things. And so you always look at how are they doing relationally. Do they have good friends and good kids, or are they choosing no kids and are all alone, or are they choosing the wrong kids? So look at how they're doing relationally. Good, healthy relationships. The second one is, how are they doing in their behavior and emotions? Are they doing okay in terms of like moodiness, but do they, you know, they grumble or blow up every now and then, but still get their chores done and kind of like function in the family? Or do they shut down and have bad habits and stay on the videos all day? Or are they on drugs or alcohol? So look at behavior and emotions. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is, look at performance. You know, you and I have to perform. We have to get out of bed every morning to go to work. So do kids. They have chores. They have school. They have art. They have church. They have sports. So how's their performance? Are the people mentoring them, teaching, guiding, coaching, and those sorts of things, are they giving them, you know, good grades that they're doing okay? And always look at your kids in those three external ways, and you'll know how their brain's working.
Yeah. Now, a child with good grades could still have problems. But we really have to, a child whose grades plummet, we really have to address that. We have to assume that something has happened there. And you can't just look at that behavior and the result of that behavior and just say, well, you know, it must be a phase or something.
And it might be a phase, but that's when a parent has to come in and say, we can't let you jeopardize your future, and so we'll do things about it. And that's where a really good parent has to go over that I'm resented phase and I'm not appreciated phase and the child is resisting me. One of the best things a parent can do is to accept that they're going to be hated and resented and still do the right thing with their kids.
Well, that's one of the things that you certainly have taught me over the years, that you know, you have to be willing to be disliked by your children to be loved by your children later on.
Right, right.
And a lot of people, they don't want to do that.
Yeah. And so, you know, those of you in our listening audience that when you hear things like, or you might have said, well, my child is my best friend, it's not really a good thing to say that to the child or act like that to your child.
Really?
Your child needs a parent, not a best friend. Otherwise, you run the risk of turning them into a child or someone who's taking care of you or parenting you, and especially in the teenage years, oh my goodness, they can do all sorts of developmental damage. So you say, hey, I'm going to help you have best friends, but I'm your parent. You've only got two of us in the whole world, and I'm going to love you and try out new, you know, your new habits with you and try to find new healthy, godly habits, but we're going to butt heads a while, and as a parent, you've got to have a thick skin. From 12 to 19, you've got to have a pretty thick skin.
I think a lot of anxiety disorders start when a child feels like there are no boundaries and borders and limits, and it's up to them to contain their own behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty scary.
It's scary. Structure brings safety to a teen. And they'll resent it, and they'll say, you're so lame, you're the tightest one in our family, you know, all my friends. And you go, that's what when our kids were going through that, they'd say, you guys are the most, you know, you're tighter than anybody, and you don't give as much freedom as anybody. And we went, I know, you're so unlucky to have been born to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not changing.
Yep. Well, when I went to college, I found that they had a structure that they expected me to stick with, that they would have class, and I would be there. And then they would give tests, and I would take those and do well, or I couldn't be there anymore. And then I found structure at the job.
Mm-hmm.
When you're teaching your kids structure, it's life skills.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've said this before, and people get sick of hearing me say it. I think one of the most valuable life skill you can teach a kid is to get up in the morning. You know, if you're having to drag out of bed and all that.
Do you know my story about that one?
No, tell me.
Oh, my goodness. I realized that I was so codependent with our sons, and my wife and I were waking them up. And it was like, I think it should have been, they should have been waking themselves up way before 13.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, get in the shower, oh, go in the room three times. And I went, and one day I went, I have really screwed up here. I said to the family, I said, I'm retiring from waking you up. And my wife was, I mean, we joke about it now, but everybody thought I was the meanest guy in the world. I said, no, I'm retiring. You should be able to do this. So I said, I'm never going to wake you up again. So day one, after I did that, They got up at like, I don't know, 9:30, and then
on the school day,
and then the school calls us and says, you know, you guys are bad parents, and you know, where are your kids and demotions? And everybody in my family hated me. The boys, Barbara was mad, and I went, I'm sorry, I'm retired. You got to learn this. And so day two, I think they were 2 hours late the first day. I think an hour late the second day. Third day, the miracle happened, Steve. Mm. The alarm went off, took showers, got breakfast, went to school. It was as the Red Sea had parted.
You don't mean that when you set an expectation, the reluctant teen was able to meet that expectation?
When I set the expectation and then allowed them to experience reality of extra classwork and demotion, it was the rainbow in the sky.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you.
Had to be hated for a while.
Yep. Well, and it wasn't the last time. Let's go to Liz from Rockford, Illinois. Liz listens on the internet. Hello there. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, how could we help you?
Well, you've just brought up the word that I'm calling about.
What is it?
Appreciation. I think I'm chronically in the not appreciated phase, where my children are chronically in the non-appreciative
phase. What do they say to you that makes you feel that way?
That would be the point. They don't
like it's what they're not saying, probably.
Uh-huh. And what do they hear your husband say about you?
Well, I think I'm more the problem. He's not the problem. He's really verbally appreciative. I'm probably the one that's not. However, I'm always drilling it into them that they should be more appreciative of what's going on in their lives.
And you're not appreciative of them or of him?
I'm not as verbally appreciative as my husband would like me. His love language is words of affirmation.
Uh-huh.
Mine absolutely is not.
Okay. So I think the teenager's love language is words of rebellion. And what you're wanting them to do is change the way they talk to you and to express. So it sounds like to me you want from them what your husband wants from you, and the best way to teach them that is for you to change.
That's not what I want to hear.
Well, it seems like to me it would. I mean, just you were so open about the fact that you don't talk your husband's love language.
Well, I've done a lot of work on myself and on my marriage, so I'm a little bit more maybe aware of these things, and it constantly floats around my head, you know, am I the problem?
Hey, Liz, let's start with a little test.
Okay.
I'm your daughter. I'm Sherry, okay?
Okay.
And what is it that Mom does for Sherry that Mom, and what does Mom want to hear Sherry say? So tell us a thing you do. And then what words you want to hear from Sherry?
Well, I came up with two examples. I thought perhaps you'd ask. Okay, we threw her a big Sweet 16 party. Apparently, it's the thing for girls, and it was for that milestone. So we gave all attention to all the details that were important to her. It was quite a party. We were quite exhausted. Little expressed appreciation. I would have liked to have said, oh, wow, the decorations were just great, and this was, and I appreciate you taking time to do this, or just even acknowledging, just say, a checkoff list.
So you got zip? You got zero?
She expresses it to her friends, maybe.
No, I'm asking toward Mom. Mom got zip for that?
I don't think I got zip,
What'd you get?
Well, let me acknowledge that there was a little bit of friction, more than a little bit of friction, the last minute thing. Some things fell apart at the last minute, and then we quickly were able
to. Doesn't matter. Did you get any words from Sherry?
Not unsolicited.
All right. And when you tell her, I need more appreciation from you, I want you to take initiative, what does she say?
I don't think I've ever expressed that to her like that.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Okay, that's a really good idea.
No, I'm asking, why wouldn't you do that?
Why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah, why wouldn't you have thought of that?
Hmm. That's a good question. Why wouldn't I do?
My hunch is, Liz, it's hard for you to ask for things.
It is.
Your husband's a word affirmation guy. It sounds like you're more of a task, busy bee, kind of worker bee type person.
Totally. Absolutely.
Well, you gotta add something to your skill list here. You probably don't tell your husband what you need emotionally, nor your kids what you need emotionally, and then they have to read your mind, and you get hurt when they don't read your mind. So make your mind readable. And I'm not saying this because of Liz. I'm really thinking about your daughter, Sherry. Sherry needs to learn how to say that to mom, to future husband, to boss, to teachers, to friends. This is training for Sherry to become a woman who appreciates. So you
That's
start.
Don't worry about because my son's an adult. He's 22.
Don't worry about it. Tell her this is a skill that starts with me. I'm going to be expecting you to notice things I do for you, or they might go away because I'm training you for life. Don't make it about mom. Make it about her development.
What do you think?
I think that's going to be helpful because my son is 22 and he's kind of a monster.
Yeah, okay. We'll be back after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. And we're talking about teenagers today on this special Friday Focus program.
Hey, Steve, I got a great idea.
All right.
If Madeline were here, mm-hmm. what would she say the best thing you did when she was in the 13 to 19 years? That she could say, hey, I'm Madeline Arterburn, and here's one thing my dad did. Because it's always helpful to hear this from the kids' side.
I can tell you for sure what she would say, because she said it to me. She said, you were there. You were always there for me, Dad. So I think that says two things. One, I showed up for soccer games, that's for sure. But I was a safe place for her whenever she had a problem.
All right. So the message is to all y'all who are dealing with teens, the teens' energy is going out away from you into friends and sports and school and social. And even though you're not very interesting to them anymore and you're kind of oatmeal, you got to be there.
Yeah.
Be there even though they say, I don't want you here, unless you're like creeping and going to movies and sitting behind them. Don't do that.
Well, what would Benny and Ricky say?
They'd say that Steve was there.
Well, you know, John, I tried. Oh, I tried to be there for them. What do you think they'd say about you? He was a genius?
They would probably say he had a good balance of love and limits. And I had to move the target a lot to figure out what the boys needed. But we finally got to the right love and limits per age. It changed every age. But we worked on hard on that.
By the way, your boys, my girl, are not perfect kids. We went through struggles. We just didn't have the nightmare stuff. Don't want people thinking that we had it all figured out, but some things were.
Well, I figured out why that was, though, is number one, they didn't have perfect parents, so we knew they'd have problems. And number two, if you nip things in the bud soon, then they become annoying and brain damage and arguments that are all night long. But if you nip it in the bud soon, you've got a better chance of not having a nightmare.
You know what I read the other day, John, is that time away from school with peers is worthless. I mean,
there's been some research on this?
It was so extreme. It said, look, they're with their peers all day long. You don't need to provide additional. And I think we're talking about the early teens. You don't need to provide additional downtime, unsupervised time with peers because it usually doesn't go well. Thought it was interesting, you know.
I'm not sure I buy that because the time in school is so structured. Yeah. Then you don't have if you're going to a good school, you don't really have time to hang out and chill and just talk because you're going from class to class. I mean, I can see it if there's lots of chill hangout time at school and that's all you're doing. But, you know, kids do need some debriefing time with their friends as well as with mom and dad and siblings.
Just telling you what I read.
Yeah,
you know, I think they were trying to make an extreme point to drive home a little one. And that is we probably give them too much time.
Yeah, we
unsupervised.
There's probably too much unsupervised time, and I think that would probably be backed up by the research. But you know, they still need friends.
I also read that a 4-year-old watching SpongeBob for 10 minutes will cause distraction.
I read that too.
Did you?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Yeah. No wonder. All right, let's go to Ann from Lake Stevens, Washington. Ann, welcome to New Life.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you. How could we help you today?
Well, my question is, I have a son, a wonderful son, who's going to be turning 14 this month.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked a little bit about sex with him, but not very much. And
where's the dad, Ann?
Pardon?
Where's the dad?
Oh, he's here.
Has he talked to him?
The code of silence type of guy.
Well, why wouldn't he have the sex talk with your boy?
Well, I don't know that I would trust him to say.
Really?
Whoa! Now we got a.
So he does he have a pornography problem, and you don't want?
He most certainly would talk against pornography, but I don't know that my husband would totally support abstinence before getting married.
Oh, he has a different value from abstinence and chastity.
I think so. He doesn't admit that to me, but I'm concerned about that, and my son's very uncomfortable in talking to him. And my husband isn't real good at talking about those kinds of things anyway. He's just...
Well, does your husband connect emotionally with your son at all?
Oh, yeah, a lot. With sports and...
Boards?
Fishing. Pardon?
Sports.
Oh, sports. So your dad's involved in the task part of the life, but not the relational connection part?
Probably not.
Yeah. Well, before we get into this, if your son's 13, one homework assignment I have for Ann is to have a very direct conversation with your husband when you get off the phone and say, I've got 5 years with him and you've got 5 years with him, and I need you to get past your discomfort with a relationship.
Okay.
And sports is not enough, nor is fishing. I'm doing a seminar in Dallas in October. It's called Fathers Show Up, because fathers feel like all I got to do is coach and do sports and help with homework, and I've done the job, and mom does the relationship, and it's putting out stunted children. Dads have to relate on emotional levels. Yeah. We're going to talk about your situation, but they've got to get out of that discomfort and talk to the kid. There's things dad brings to a child that only they can bring to the child. Only they, not you.
I'll share with you my 13-year-old son, the conversation I had with him about 3 weeks ago, and see if that might help. But it's just really difficult to honor the manhood he's walking into when the man in his life isn't willing to have that discussion with him. That's really a kind of a disconnect there, and we'll talk about it after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Talking with Ann about her 13-year-old son. You know, I think sometimes it's important to have the talk, but I think a better term would be have the ongoing conversation. I think you have to talk about manhood and coming into manhood. And one of the things I said to my bonus son, Carter, I said, you know, you're going to be under a tremendous amount of pressure to prove that you're a man. And the way most guys want you to go is to use a girl to prove that you're a man. And let's just look at all the different things that point to the fact that you are a man, that you have become a young man, and you don't have anything to prove. Now you have to figure out, if you don't have anything to prove, why not wait? Now, this was just one of many conversations, but it was on, the topic was on using girls to prove your manhood versus connecting with girls and developing a healthy relationship with them that could form the pattern of relationships ongoing. Just so I don't know. That was just one of the many conversations that we've had. And it's important that kids know, young teens know, that they can talk to you about anything. And I would really hope that he could talk to his dad about anything. That would be the home run.
Yeah.
John, anything else you want to add?
Well, Ann, I'm just wondering what you're thinking as you're cogitating this.
Well, I have a question. I did buy every young man's battle. Is it too early to have my son read?
No. In fact, if you want to get started, you could say to him, I'm going to read to you Preparing Your Son for Every Young Man's Battle. Because that one, you don't have to figure out what to say. You just read it.
Yeah.
And you can say, okay, now this is kind of for younger than you, but I'm going to read it to you. And then we're going to do Every Young Man's Battle together.
Okay.
And women can do it. It's best if a dad does, but you can do it. It'll help you.
Okay.
And what do you think about my challenge to challenge you to your husband?
Oh, I will talk to him. Yeah, I will talk to him.
Do you see that this is a big deal?
Do I feel like it's a big deal?
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you don't get how big a deal. I'm feeling a lot of urgency here, and it sounds like you're not.
Oh, I feel a lot of urgency, yes.
All right. Then
I do.
Then I need
it's
you to
just very uncomfortable, obviously.
Okay, think about this. Uncomfortable now, or 10 years from now, your 24-year-old says, why didn't you really push Dad to talk to me about sex? I've had some acting out problems. I've got a child out of wedlock. I've got a porn addiction. Why didn't you press Dad harder? Does that help you to have more urgency?
Yeah, it does.
Go and for it.
Like you said, get past the discomfort.
Go for it. That's what parents do.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad she called.
I didn't mean to sound pushy there, but we've got to look at God's design for moms and dads and teens, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if one parent is not pulling their weight, the other parent can't say, oh, well, you know, I mean, unless they're living on the other side of the world or something, they've got to say, look, I don't want to cripple my kid, and I don't want you to either, and so this conversation will not go away. I need you to show up as a parent to love them, teach them, talk about sex with them, talk about drugs with them, enforce the boundaries, be connected emotionally. I need you to show up.
Okay. All right, let's go to Sharon from Tucson, Arizona, listening KGMS. Hello, Sharon. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks.
What's your question for us?
I'm actually going to change my question. I hope that's not a problem.
Okay.
But this kind of pertains to the last call.
Hmm.
She was mentioning about talking to her son about sex and everything like that. And I wanted to begin by encouraging parents to broach that subject with their kids at the youngest possible age these days, simply because if you don't, I have found that they may get on the computer and look for the answers themselves and develop
right.
a porn addiction. And that's something that, you know, I didn't anticipate, and so...
Hey, Sharon, it's different than that. It's even if we do tell them the truth, they're still going to do it. So we don't go into the, they'll never watch this stuff. They go to a friend's house. So we've got to have the healthy, biblical, you know, good, sound antibodies of our talking to them in their system while they get exposed to this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I agree completely. And, you know, instill in them the right values and God's perspective of sex and things like that. But what I'd like to do is ask, do you foresee... ever starting up a program for every young man's battle workshop? Because I think catching young teens at an age before they develop the problem and the struggle would be great. I mean, I wouldn't want to send my son to, you know, a workshop for men. But I think there's a real need this day and age for workshops for young teens. And I just wanted to suggest that and see if there's any possibility of that ever, you know, developing?
Well, we try to meet needs that we can meet. It's a little bit difficult for us to do something like that because of supervision. We would have to have dads accompany them, and it would be very expensive. Mm-hmm. But our answer to that is a great youth group. I don't know of any youth group that doesn't deal with the issue of sex. If it's a good, strong youth group at a church. And I know that may sound like a cop-out, but, you know, that's our answer.
No, it really doesn't sound like a cop-out, and that does make sense.
Now, so, tell us about your situation. Let's get back to your original question.
Well, my son tried to take his life when he was 17.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now.
That's hard.
Yeah. What did he do? How did he do it?
He overdosed. With pills. So.
And who found him?
Actually, he reached out to a friend at the last moment who took, you know, matters into their hands and called 911. And,
oh, my gosh.
Can't. So, yeah.
What kind of, I mean, that must have just been a nightmare for you, Sharon.
Oh, my gosh. It was one of the worst things I have ever experienced. And it's just one of many things that's happened to our lives in the past year. It's been a very difficult year. And so, yeah. And that was I don't want to say that was necessarily the catalyst, but that was certainly a contributing factor in my son's attempt. So, and my original question was, both him and the therapist feel that he's come a long way, which he really has. He's opening up and, you know, willing to communicate more, getting in touch with feelings and stuff like that. And they both feel that, you know, cutting back, you know, counseling sessions to once a month would be sufficient. I just don't know if, because my son says they have nothing to talk about, or he doesn't have a lot to talk about. So, and I was wondering your thoughts on the subject.
Now, let me make sure I got the facts straight. The counselor says we need to go to once a month, or your son's saying that?
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Who was the one saying there's nothing going on and the therapy has nothing to talk about? Your counselor, or his counselor, or your son?
No, my son is the one saying that. He's saying, you know, we really don't have a whole lot to talk about. But the counselor is agreeing with him that, you know, they feel that once a month would be sufficient because of the, you know, progress that's been made and stuff like that.
And it's been how many months now?
Pardon?
How many months has it been?
It happened 5 months ago.
And how frequently were the sessions from 5 months ago?
A couple times a week. Plus, he was also seeing someone else. So.
Okay. And is the counselor offering other things, like, you know, kids at his age also need other things like either small groups or church groups, but something ongoing? Has he?
Absolutely. Yes, he has since then gotten involved in the youth group.
Okay, well, if he went twice a week and was a really good counselor and the whatever your son was dealing with has been resolved, that is possible. But what I would want to do as a parent is I'd want to have a very thorough session where you scour everything with the counselor and say, I would rather go too long in the counseling than ever have him worry about this again.
Mm-hmm.
And so you push the counselor, because counselors need pushing. That's the way we are. And say, if you're really, really, really feeling good that this has been resolved, that's one thing. But I'd rather go too long just to make sure the antibodies are in his system. See what he says, or she says.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, I'm glad you called.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back for our final segment here on this show about adolescence. Send boundaries to teens there with Sharon. And, I hope and pray that if you don't hear anything else, you hear involvement. That's the thing that we need to be. As uncomfortable as it can be at times, we need involvement. We'll be back right after this.
Hi everybody, Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. We'll go to our next caller, and let's go to Diane from Cincinnati, Ohio. WCVX is the station. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Diane. How are you? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm so confused.
That's okay. I talk to myself all the time.
My question is, I want to know how you can empower me with the action steps and tools to change the path of rebellious spirit and the root of entitlement that my 16-year-old son is on.
And, okay, what did he do?
Well, it's been brewing. He's been caught with illegal substance. Hmm. We've taken all his furniture out of his room. He does not have his driver's license. He's now not coming home on the weekend. We've taken him to family counseling. So I think the problem stands with us as parents, as he doesn't see us as authoritative figures in the family.
What does the counselor say, Diane?
He said that as long as he's invested in lying and the extracurricular activities, then he can no longer help us.
Mm. So he sort of washed his hands.
Well, I mean, we can come back. He's helped me feel better about what I'm trying to do.
Does your son say when you're confronting him with these realities?
He doesn't say anything to us. He doesn't function in the family any longer.
Hmm.
He comes home and plays video, or he goes to sleep, or he does go to work and he does go to school. I
mean, no, but what, do you ever just sit down and say, we have to talk?
We haven't lately, no.
Why is that?
I'm not sure.
Are you afraid of him?
No.
Are you afraid you'll alienate him more if you say we have to talk? I mean, okay. You're afraid you're going to push him further away.
Yes.
Okay. When's the last time you had a substantive talk with your son? Was it when he was 4 or when he was 13 or was it last week? Or when's the last time you had a real talk with him?
I can't remember. You know, probably with the counselor.
How long ago was that?
Like 3-4 months ago.
All righty. I'm trying to get in your son's head here. And so what did he say? What words did he say in the session?
He doesn't say much. He kept to himself.
Okay. Then tell me sometime when your son said some words. All I've got is this horrible behavior. He's out of control. The kid's in trouble. He's lying.
Yes.
But I need to know what he's ever said about anything important with you guys.
I can't remember anything.
Okay, so you guys are just really disconnected.
Yes.
Like if I gave you a menu and it was like, you guys' rules are lame, or I want to do what I want to do, or you're way too strict on me, or you don't understand, or all I want to do is have fun. Does he say anything like that?
If we've taken the cell phone away, mm-hmm. and he breaks out into a big drama, his life's not worth living, mm. and you know, when you take his connection with his friends.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Have you thought about sending him away?
That's what I was going to ask you next. Do we take him to the Gateway Recovery and have them evaluate him?
Yeah.
Well, I
Something.
Think so, because Something. you don't have any impact on his behavior.
Right.
So now you...
No, we don't.
So you turn him over to some people, and maybe they can have some impact on his behavior. Maybe he will respect them.
Yeah, you're a gas station right now.
Mm-hmm.
Video games and some lunch, and I'm out of here.
But I don't think that we as parents have done enough besides just try to ask for help from other people. I don't know. I don't know if his dad's set enough weed, no, like following through. I don't know.
Well, that's like, what family counselors are supposed to do, is to help you come up with healthy boundaries and structures and consequences so the young man or young woman feels the pain. And it sounds like you've done something. You took the furniture away. You're taking the cell phone away. So why would you question if you've done enough?
I don't know. I just feel like there's more I can do without turning him over to an institution.
Here's what I would do. I would go get an evaluation from a place. Because what you're saying is, for whatever reason, our home, under our roof, we don't have the structure that Johnny needs. He needs structure because he's bailing on everything, and his life's going to be, in 10 years, his life's going to be a nightmare, and we don't have the structure. And so you go to one of those places and say, here's our situation, here's his behaviors, here's what we've tried. And so you kind of, they've heard 1,000 cases like this, and they'll either say, okay, here's some things you haven't thought of, and you do them. Or they say, yep, he's gone beyond the point of no return. He's just going to be in and out and staying with on couches and friends and doing drugs. And it's time to get to add the structure of a residential program. But get the evaluation assessment from them. This is not something that you have to make up. I hear the helplessness in your voice, Diane, and like, what do I do? And you never have to make this stuff up. Go to the professionals and they'll help you.
Okay.
All right, Diane, I'm really glad that you called. I'll send you some Boundaries in Teens. I'll send you a book, and I hope that that will be a blessing to you. All right. I'll tell you, if you would like some weekly tips, this week it's 5 tips for loving your unlovable teenager. You can get these free by calling and requesting them at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Can I add one little quick tip?
Yes, please.
Everybody in our listening audience, remember, you were a teenager. It's not easy.
No.
I know there's entitlement and all this sort of thing. It's not easy being a teen. So have some compassion when you're setting those limits.
Yeah. Well, I really hope and pray something we've said today is helpful to you. And I hope that if you've been helped, that you'll support our program. We imagine that, you know, it's somewhere around 10% of the people, if it's like a church, do all the supporting. And maybe you could be one of those 4 people a day we need to sign up for Club New Life. Please consider making a gift to New Life, and you can do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or by going to newlife.com. We really do need your help. You know, one of my favorite verses comes out of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 44, and it's the 20th verse, and it comes right after Isaiah has explained that the woodworker takes a piece of wood and breaks it in half and burns half of it and then turns the other into an idol, and from the same people piece of wood. And he says, "The poor deluded fool feeds on ashes. He trusts something that can't help him at all. Yet he cannot bring himself to ask, is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie?" How many idols do we hold in our hands that are absolute lies? Certainly money is a huge one. We believe that it's going to bring us all sorts of goodness and wonder. And if the heart isn't right, the checkbook, the pocketbook is not going to fix it. I don't know what you're holding on to, but don't be like these people who would never even take the time to stop and say, is not this thing in my hand a lie? One of the things that isn't a lie is my admiration for you, John Townsend. Thank you for being with us. God bless you. Really appreciate all that you're doing. And
thanks,
all
Steve.
Of you, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching us. We'll look forward to seeing you here again next time on New Life. But in the meantime, if you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's 1-639-5433, or go to that website, newlife.com. Get some help, or maybe you can help us. Same number, same website for either one, and we will see you here on Monday. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.